Please join me in the prayer for illumination. Holy One, giver of all light, lift up your hearts and minds to Christ, the morning star that never fades. By the light of your Holy Spirit, reveal to us your saving word and lead us to offer our lives to you in service and in love. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, amen. Seek and ye shall find. Glasses. Scripture reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 10, verses 5 through 15. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, proclaim the good news. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You received without payment, give without payment. Take no gold or silver or copper in your belts, no bag for your journey, or two tunics, or sandals, or a staff, for laborers deserve their food. Whatever town or village you enter, find out who in it is worthy, and stay there until you leave. As you enter the house, greet it. If the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet as you leave that house or town. Truly, I tell you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. This is the word of the Lord.
We are continuing our series looking at some of the hard sayings of Jesus. This week we are looking at a very strange saying, and what makes it stranger is that it comes in one of Jesus' greatest sermons, the Sermon on the Mount. So this wasn't some random aside that he had forgotten about and just wanted to throw it in later. This was very intentional. Hear these confusing words from Jesus in Matthew chapter 7. Do not judge so that you may not be judged. For with the judgment you make, you will be judged. With the measure you give will be the measure you get. Why do you see the speck in your neighbor's eye, but do not notice the log in your own eye? Or how can you say to your neighbor, let me take the speck out of your eye while the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your neighbor's eye. And then the strange saying, do not give what is holy to dogs, and do not throw your pearls before swine, or they will trample them underfoot and turn and maul you. This is the word of the Lord, so thanks be to God. You know, the Sermon on the Mount deals with some of the most basic impulses of the human experience, being angry with another person, done that. Insulted another person, I've done that. Thought another person was a fool, I've done that. Lied, done that. Sought revenge, done that. Been a show-off, done that, and got the t-shirt. Jesus was spot on in this sermon time and time again. He was on a roll. But I would be willing to say that not only have I never wanted to do this, I would put $100 that no human in history has ever wanted to take their treasure and toss it to pigs so that they can eat it. Not going to happen. Now, I could see a pig accidentally eating something you dropped. They're pretty good at that. My dog is also very good at that, especially if it's Charlie's crayons. Those are quite valuable. But intentionally tossing a valuable pearl so that the pig will eat it, not going to happen, Jesus. But then he adds that if for some strange reason you actually did this, the result would be the pig would turn on you, trample you and maul you, as if we needed extra motivation. What on earth does this mean? Well, let's roll back to the beginning of our text and see if we can figure it out together. The first two verses that we read say that however we judge other people, that's how we will be judged. And the word judge here means to call into question. So that's the context for our pearl-munching pigs. When we are calling another person into question, when we are doubting another person's wisdom, when we believe that another person is headed for disaster. That's our context. And these first two verses are saying that the way you approach someone when you believe they are headed for disaster, that's how you will be approached when you are headed toward disaster. At the house where I spent the first 10 years of my life, we had a pack of neighborhood boys. I was the second youngest of these boys, so I was often at a physical disadvantage, and we were playing a game of tag, a very sprawling game of tag in our open neighborhood, outside and inside, and home base, which is, you know, where you can't be tagged, home base was in my house, in the living room, on the couch. And so the older neighborhood boys who were chasing me, and being younger, I was pumping my legs as hard as I could, rounding the staircase, leaping into my living room, and screen door was closed. I gotta give my dad some credit. He built that quite sturdily. But the worst part of it is that I got tagged. Now, wouldn't it have been nice if someone had noticed that I was headed into this screen door? Wouldn't it have been nice if someone had tried to stop me? And wouldn't it have been really nice if they had compassion on me instead of laughing at me like hyenas for the next week? I think this text is making two interesting points for whenever we see that someone is headed toward a disaster far worse than a screen door. Now, what's the easiest way to handle that? That's their life. They can deal with the consequences. But that's not what our text says. In fact, verse 5 says, "Then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your neighbor's eye." Jesus assumes that we will help. Jesus assumes that we will speak up when someone is headed for disaster. There's not an option to ignore it. The second interesting point is that how we approach someone in these circumstances is supremely important and can determine the result. For instance, verses 3 through 5 encourage us to approach with humility. Jesus talks about noticing the log in our own eye. Now, I am pretty sure this is a rabbinic overstatement here, because I don't think my neck could support a log strapped to my face. But the image here is that when you approach someone that you believe is headed for disaster, all of your own flaws are going to be magnified. Everything you've ever done wrong will be patently obvious, visible from a mile away, and will probably be thrown back in your face. I know someone who is in decent shape for his age, but his doctor told him that he could stand to lose 5 pounds. And he said, "Doctor, thank you for that advice. I will surely do it right after you lose the extra 20 you're carrying around." So one of the most important things we can do whenever we see that someone is careening toward a screen door in their life is to have an attitude of humility whenever we approach them. When I counsel couples before marriage, one of the things I have them do is this comprehensive approach to conflict. And one of the steps in that handout is to list all of the ways you have contributed to the problem. Not all the ways your spouse has contributed to the problem, all of the ways you personally have contributed to this problem. That requires an attitude of humility. That's recognizing your own logs. But you know, logs aren't limited to our own role. Sometimes it's just recognizing that we've done something similar, or even recognizing that we've been on a path to disaster in our own lives before. My mom went to one of the big box stores, I think it was Home Depot, and got some paint color matched, and she went home and put it on the wall, and it was clearly the wrong color. So she brought it back and wanted them to redo it, and they noticed, you know, it says who did the matching on the bucket, and they said, "Oh, Johnny did this. It's got to be right. He never messes up." And for several minutes, They refused to even open the paint can to look at it. So confident were they in Johnny's paint color matching abilities. And so finally, my mom replied, well, shoot, if Johnny never makes a mistake, maybe he should run for president. We could use a man like him. Grasping her point, they finally opened the paint color. And sure enough, it was the wrong color, and they redid it for her. Have you ever made a mistake? Have you ever been unwise? Have you ever been on the wrong path? Ever been headed for disaster yourself? Ever careened headlong into a screen door? If not, Iowa hasn't voted yet. There is still time for you to enter the race. And I think Johnny will be your vice president. It'll be good. When we see someone headed for disaster, Jesus says, speak up. Don't let them just fall into ruin, but remember in humility how you have been there too. Extend your hand in help, not your wagging finger of judgment. And that's where our little piggies come back into focus. Once we've noticed that another person is headed for disaster, once we've decided to speak up, once we have decided to approach it with an attitude of humility, owning our own role, remembering our own past, then we get to the pearls and the pigs. Now, pigs at the time would have been fed, you know, peas or corn or some other small plant material, things, you know, about the size of a small pearl. And so I think the image Jesus is trying to get at is, suppose you have a godly insight to share with someone to help them avoid the disaster they seem intent on bringing upon themselves. Now, that nugget of wisdom, that pearl of wisdom that you have needs to be shared with the other person. But if you just toss in your pearly white zinger of truth, the other person may not be able to digest it. It won't nourish them. They'll reject it and maybe even attack you for it. So instead of just laying it all out there, I believe what Jesus is saying is that in humility, it is part of our responsibility to consider how the other person will hear it, to present our insight, our wisdom, our warning against disaster in such a way that they will be able to digest it. And it's going to take longer to do that. It's harder to do that rather than just laying it out there. But we can't just drop a word bomb, drop the mic, and walk off the stage. It is our responsibility to consider how the other person will hear it, to help them be able to see what we're saying, to desire a change, desire a solution, to digest and be nourished by a helpful and humble word of warning. But what if the other person doesn't want to have anything to do with you? What if you have crafted your pearl of wisdom in such a way that it is easily digestible, but you're still trampled and mauled anyway? What then? I know someone who saw a family member at a 4th of July party, and this family member had just recently had a traumatic and very painful injury, was still recovering from that. And so she said to him, I'm praying for you and your injury. And he wheeled around on her and said, I don't want your prayers. Save your prayers for someone else. Being 4th of July, she replied, well, it's America, and I can pray for whomever I please. Has that ever happened to you, though? You know, where you go the extra mile, you try to be helpful, you try to extend a hand of help, and instead you are trampled and mauled. Sometimes people just still, they just won't hear it. What then? Well, Jesus says, do not give what is holy to dogs. This is talking about meat sacrificed at the temple. That's what's holy. And the dogs here are not your favorite household pet. These are kind of roaming bands of wild dogs. And so what he's saying here is that sometimes your words of humble help will simply not be heard. You're wasting your time. There are times, I emphasize times, when it is okay to throw in the towel. Now, in the first text we read today, Jesus sends his disciples out two by two, and he tells them to extend their peace upon the town that they enter. And if their peace is received, the peace rests on that house and in that town. But if the peace is not received, they take it back. They shake the dust off of their feet, and they go to another town. Be done with them. There are times when it is okay to throw in the towel. Now, it's not okay for that to be your default, though. You need a pretty good track record, not just a hunch that they won't listen to you. After all, Jesus' disciples, they had to walk to this town carrying nothing. They had to preach the good news to them, to meet the people, and only after all of these actions were they allowed to shake the dust off and move on. Sisters and brothers, Jesus assumes that we will help when we notice someone is headed for a disaster far worse than a screen door. But he tells us to first extend our hand of help, not a wagging finger of judgment. He tells us to own our own role, to remember our past, to have an attitude of humility, because all of our own flaws are going to be magnified. And in humility, Jesus says to massage our words so that they are our pearl of wisdom is digestible to the person hearing it. Otherwise, they'll attack us. And finally, if we follow this recipe, but you're still trounced anyway, there are times, when we can shake the dust off our feet and not worry about feeding the dogs. Where can you extend that helping hand to someone? Not a wagging finger of judgment. How can you deliver a digestible word of help and encouragement? Or maybe someone is trying to give you a pearl of wisdom in your life. Are you willing to digest it? Or have you been trampling them and mauling them like those ornery pigs? Jesus assumes we will speak up. We will help. Is there anyone in your path, anyone in your life, who could use your helping hand? Amen.